Well, good morning and happy Lord's Day to you. It is Sunday, June the 16th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. On Sundays, we are working our way through the Psalms, and we are to Psalm chapter 9 today. Sundays are a special day on the wake-up call, as we're featuring the work of Tim and Julie Tennant. Tim Tennant has served as the president of Asbury Theological Seminary for the past over a decade. He's a dear friend of mine and Julie. They are wonderful leaders in the church, the church around the world. They've done a lot of work with the Psalms. And so I'm going to read a meditation today that was written by them. And then we're going to sing the psalm through the Psalter that they have crafted together over the last decade. We'll talk more about that when we get there. Let's begin with the reading. The entry today is entitled The End of the Wicked, Psalm 9. Our reading will be Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, and then verses 15 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as the righteous judge. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God. But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Arise, Lord. Do not let mortals triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, Lord. Let the nations know they are only mortal. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. From Dr. Timothy Tennant. Psalm 9 is the first acrostic psalm found in the Psalter. An acrostic is a poetical form used to help people, especially the young, to remember God's word. Each verse or phrase or couplet of the psalm begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If it were in English, it would be like having verse 1 begin with A, verse 2 begin with B, verse 3 begin with C, and so on. There are 8 of these in the Psalms. Psalms 9 and 10, the first half of the alphabet in Psalm 9 and the second half in Psalm 10. And then Psalm 25, 34, 37, 111, 112, 119, and 145, all acrostic psalms. Since acrostics were used in the spiritual training of children, it is worth noting that a survey of all 8 of these acrostics reveals foundational themes that Jewish families believed were essential in the proper training of children. Number one, the importance of trusting God despite all outward circumstances. Number two, the importance of learning to love God's word and his law. Number three, the importance of recognizing the two paths, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And number four, learning the character and nature of God. Psalm 9 brings out two of these themes by calling us to trust in God despite our outward circumstances, remembering the final verdict on the wicked and the final vindication of the righteous. The psalm declares that God alone is the righteous king who reigns forever and who, quote, has established his throne for judgment, verse 7. He is the refuge for the oppressed, and he will protect us and lift us up even, quote, from the gates of death, verse 13. This psalm shows the final end of the way of the wicked. They will be rebuked on judgment day. Their names will be blotted out, and all memory of them will perish. The nations who have put themselves in the place of God will be struck with terror, and they will finally, quote, know they are but men, verse 20. Paradoxically, asking God to strike them with terror, verse 20, in the lives of his enemies, is in harmony with Jesus' admonition to, quote, pray for those who persecute you, Matthew 5:44. It is like praying for a divine intervention that, though painful, has a redemptive goal. It is only when we are confronted, even forcibly and dramatically, with our sins, and only when we have that deep realization that we are living in opposition to God, that we will ever turn to Him to receive the grace and mercy so freely offered through Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to, for our hymn today, our hymn is a psalm, right? We're singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, Sunday is we're going to sing a psalm. And we're going to sing it in the tradition of what is known as a psalter, a metrical psalter. Tim and Julie, like I said, have worked over the last decade or better to arrange all 150 psalms in this metrical form and then paired them with hymn tunes that are familiar to us. Now, on our email, you'll see a link where it references a free resource, which is a website where all of these psalms in their metrical form, you know, they're rhyming, and they're put in a certain, you know, syllable per line format, a certain metrical format. All of them are online. Julie has gone in and played a piano rendition of each of the hymn tunes. So you could actually, if we weren't doing this together, you could push the button, turn on the hymn tune, hear her playing piano, and sing along. So I know the hymn tune. I've chosen a hymn tune I know here that she's put as one of the options today. This is Psalm 9. You'll need these words to sing along with me. And we also have this in a book form. It's like another kind of hymnal that you can get from Seedbed. I'd love for you to get it. And Tim's writings are in a companion book. Anyway, we'll say more about that at the end. The metrical psalm is different than the psalm that you would have read, that we read together from the Bible. Anyway, you'll get the point as we move along. It's hard to explain. And let me say this. Singing psalms, I'll be honest, it's not native to most of us, and it can be a bit of an acquired taste. You've got to give yourself to it a bit before you get the feel of it, and it has a completely different feel and a different impact. to sing these psalms. It's rewarding, it's rich, it's engaging at another level than just reading. And one of the challenges of psalm singing is that they can be quite long. This is a long one. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This has like 10 stanzas. So for the sake of wading into the shallow end, I'm going to sing the same text that the readings follow today, which is verses 1 through 10 and verses 15 through 20. We'll pass over the middle part of this. Remember, we're just wading in. And if you want to sing them all, be my guest. The tune we're going to sing is Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. I think you'll recognize it. All right, are you ready? Take a deep breath. We're singing a psalm here together. I'll praise you, Lord, give thanks with all my heart. Tell of your wonders and exult in thee. I will be glad, praise to your name impart. O Lord Most High, I sing and worship Thee. Okay, I'm going to have to lower the key. That's a little high. I'll start the second stanza, verse 3. My foes turn back, they stumble before Thee. For you do see and maintain my just cause. You sit on high and judging righteously. You rebuke nations who do spurn your laws. You have destroyed the wicked enemy. You blotted out their name forevermore. Uprooted all their cities thoroughly. Ruin has come, their memory is no more. But the Lord reigns enthroned in justice pure. He judges all the world in righteousness. His upright judgment is established sure. He judges people with true uprightness. The Lord's a refuge for oppressed ones too. He is their stronghold in their time of need. Let those who know your name put trust in you. You don't forsake those who seek you indeed. I'll find joy in your saving work alone. The nations sink into the pit they've made. The Lord has made himself be clearly known. Their foot is caught within the net they laid. The Lord is known by justice that stands firm. In their own work, the wicked are ensnared. All who forget God, to Sheol return. But poor and needy will not perish there. Arise, O Lord, don't let mere man prevail. Let nations come, be judged before your throne. Strike them with fear, Lord, let the nations know. They are but men, and you are God alone. Amen. That was a marathon, wasn't it? That was a marathon. You know, we're very used to, in this day and age and in this culture, we're used to singing being a direct expression of our emotion. And sometimes when we sing and we don't like feel emotional expression, it just sort of, we can just push it aside and say, well, that's not really for me. But what I want to suggest to you is that singing is much larger than our emotion and our emotional expression. Certainly, it includes that, but it is not limited to that. There is a sense in which singing is the engagement, biblically speaking, singing engages our soul and our spirit in a way that transcends, that's beyond feeling. Feeling is good, but it's not the measure of our worship. And sometimes an exercise like this, we just want to submit to it. We want to sing through it. This is like an exercise that we've never done before, and we don't know the muscle. We don't have the muscle memory and the familiarity and the melodic kind of facility. We got to practice it. We got to get better at it. We got to learn it. Right? Kind of like pickleball, right? Some people have played tennis and some people have played ping pong and they think they're going to just jump right in and be experts at pickleball. And well, maybe some of you are, but really there's a whole nother sport there and you've got to learn. You got to learn how it works. You got to learn what the kitchen is, what the rules are, how to hit the ball, how not to hit the ball. It's like tennis, but not like tennis. It's like ping pong, but not like ping pong. I think you're getting my point. Singing psalms are like that. And of course, psalms, the word means songs. They were meant to be sung. We just don't have the soundtrack. So over the years, we've learned different ways of singing. This is one of those ways. So thanks for coming with me through that. We'll keep going with this on Sundays. This is forming us. It's forming our faith. It's forming our sanctified imagination, whether we feel it or not. So, end of speech. So good to be with you on Sunday. You are now warmed up. You're ready to enter the house of God in the midst of the people of God and join your worship to theirs. We'll be all joining our worship together all across this land, all across the world, in praise of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? On Sunday, I'm not going to say I'll see you on the field. You know why? Because I'll see you at the house. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.